I speak to you in the name of God. Amen. If you were living in Tampa in 2004, you remember that this week Hurricane Charley was barreling up the Gulf. At that point, I needed to go into both parent mode and child mode. My younger son, John, had finished his degree at University of South Florida, was living here, and when I talked to him on that Thursday night, he was worried. He had good reason to be worried. A destructive storm was moving up the coast, gashing the beaches, flattening trailer parks, deluging the coastal islands, and emptying the stores of water, food, batteries, and duct tape. I grew up in Florida. I was born in Fort Myers and grew up in Florida and lived through hurricanes, and I never joke about them. So I told John to take this one seriously. He sounded serious, with sandbags covering the glass doors of his patio and coverings over the windows. As you know, Charley turned in at Punta Gorda and missed Tampa almost entirely. As John said later on his phone, we just got a few breezes and a little drizzle. To his sad wistfulness at having not lived through the storm, I could only say, I hope you saw the pictures of destruction south of you and know what trouble you avoided. My parents were not so fortunate. They lived in Fort Myers, but they were in Maine that year in August, so they weren't at home. Thursday night, I received a phone call from their neighbor describing an undamaged house, a yard littered with tree parts and debris. The power was out in Fort Myers, and my parents had a lot of cleanup to do when they got back from Maine. They were 86 at that point, and I'm glad they weren't home when Charley came calling, and I was worried in two directions until all was well and my precious son and parents were safe. But then I came to church this morning and opened up the Gospel of Luke to prepare for this sermon, and I was dismayed to hear about fathers against sons, and sons against fathers, and mothers against daughters, and daughters against mothers, and so forth and so on. And in our society, in our culture, where the first response to anything now seems to be hatred and division, I was surprised to hear Jesus say these things. I don't think this passage has anything to do with family squabbles, actually. You know, the perennial conflict over curfews, how to spend money, how to decorate, who could drive the car, what videos to rent. I also don't think it has anything to do with the density of blended families, which sometimes are barely united and are often at odds. So my first question to myself was, did Jesus really say this? Not to be irreverent, but since the Gospels were written more than a full generation after Jesus lived and died and was raised from the dead, and since they were put together like editing a book from stories and sayings and bits and pieces that circled through the church for years, it is possible that this difficult passage isn't from Jesus at all. Maybe it's Luke talking. Perhaps Jesus did not speak these words about fire on the earth, division on the earth, families divided against each other. Perhaps Jesus really spoke only about love and brotherhood and happy families and all that. Don't you wish? It will be so much easier to take, so much easier to figure out. Wishing that Jesus spoke only comforting promises and pacifying phrases would at least give us cause to compare our more motley and disordered lives, even if we fell short. Well, the truth is, we'll never know if these words are entirely from Jesus or have been filtered through the church of which Luke was a part. But there must have been something about being a Christian back then that made life occasionally difficult. Otherwise, why would Luke pass on these awful and uncomfortable sayings? It's possible that being a Christian now might make life occasionally difficult, even in our families. One of my classmates at Yale Divinity School many years ago grew up in a pious Jewish family, When Ron came to faith in Jesus, it was as if he were dead to his family. God can do that to people. Makes you wonder about God, perhaps. I wish I could tell you for sure that Jesus said these hard things, but I don't know. I only know that Luke included them in his gospel, here, in a chapter filled with hard sayings about being prepared, not storing up riches, not worrying about daily needs, and being generous. There was a sense of urgency in those days. Anxious about the future, dislocated from others, unnerved by the power of God's Spirit in the world, Luke and his fellow Christians lived in a kind of awkward borderland between everything they had always known and this strange place where dead men lived. Prodigal sons were forgiven. Outcast Samaritans made the best neighbors, and women were honored. They could hardly believe that Jesus meant for everything to remain as it was. They could hardly expect everything old to stand unchanged. So they remembered words of division, fire, and disruption. Their lives had become like that. And they wanted to believe they could read the signs of the times and were prepared for the new world God was breathing into place. But it must have been hard for them, as hard as it is for us. Some of them who were fathers must have worried about their sons, hated the conflicts that prevented the generation of love between them. Some of them must have discovered that speaking the name of Jesus left them alone, or worse. Some of them must have decided that fire with Jesus was better than peace with the emperor. And so they remembered these words of division, fire, and disruption, and passed them on to generations they never knew. But they are the witnesses that surround us as we run the race. They are the cloud that descends upon us as we face hostility for our faith. They are our ancestors in the struggle and our forebears in perseverance. And now their words are our words. Sometimes when I preach for you, I can tell you a sweet story and prepare kind of a bed of blessedness for you to lie upon. And it is hard to relinquish that hope of unity, peace, reconciliation, and love. But today I cannot give you those things. I can only set before you the hard words of Jesus, or Luke, or whomever. I wish I could make them easier for you, but you will have to listen for yourself. Ask yourself what the signs mean and recognize that this one piece of the gospel is not the whole gospel. My father lived 7 years after Hurricane Charley, died at the age of 93 after a long and full life as a Methodist minister. If the truth were told, he and I fought many times over the years. Sometimes we fought about the things of God. There were times when I felt as if I were standing against him and he against me. God does that to people on occasion, at least when they take God seriously and take each other seriously. But there is to be ultimate reconciliation and ultimate healing and ultimate peace. Luke also says that, and I believe Jesus also says that as well. Hard sayings, hopeful sayings, we need them all. Amen.